Oh, thank you. Wow. Well, I heard a number of stories this evening. One Christmas story, which I find intriguing and amusing, is about one man's attempt to abolish Christmas. He was the Irish-born British philosopher and essayist Dr. Bernard Shaw, and when he was a young man, he founded an organization called the Society for the Abolition of Christmas and made himself its president. Near the end of his life, Dr. Shaw reported that the society was still in existence, that he was still its self-elected president, and no new members had been added to the organization. Shaw was an avowed atheist, and his society was his personal protest about a holiday for which he felt there was scant historical evidence. Well, I thought about Mr. Shaw's effort to abolish Christmas when I read a piece in just this last Sunday's Boston Globe about a man who actually did succeed in getting rid of Christmas for a time. He was no atheist, however. Rather, he was the well-known, much respected, probably much feared, 17th century New England Protestant minister of the Puritan persuasion, the Reverend Cotton Mather. Due to his influence and that of his fellow Puritan Calvinist followers, December the 25th, here in New England, in the mid-1700s, was treated like any other day. Shops were open. Ordinary people went about their ordinary business, and this was very much to the Reverend Mather's liking. In what was then the theocratic Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the celebration of Christmas was legally forbidden. I think of this when I hear charges made in our day now that it is the secularists and the humanists who want to get rid of Christmas. The only people who ever actually pulled that off were a particular sect of Christianity. The Puritans, as their name implied, were the ones who wanted to purify Christianity, purify it of any non-biblical or pagan influences, and that meant the celebration of Christmas had to go. Well, Reverend Mather and his followers had a point, actually. There is nothing in the Bible that indicates Jesus was born on this date. Indeed, it was the appropriation of a pagan holiday by the 4th century Catholic Church that gives us our December 25th Christmas. And Reverend Mather was further concerned, if not aghast, at the kind of reveling done by some of the colonists at that time, some of their more riotous behavior. He was wanting to tamp that down as well. And in disgust, he declared men dishonor Christ more in the 12 days of Christmas than in all the 12 months besides. What made me proud as I further read on in this Globe piece was when I got to the part where it told about how it was the Universalists. As they came to prominence in the late 18th and early 19th centuries in New England, who led the way of restoring the celebration of Christmas as a time for festivity and joy and happiness. And it was also interesting to me to note in this very same Globe piece that ran last Sunday, that it was the singing of Handel's Messiah by Boston's Handel and Payton Society, beginning in 1815, but also helped bring about the restoration of Christmas in New England, which makes it quite appropriate that we have heard the most famous piece of that work this evening. And the thing that intrigues me the most is about all this is that Dr. Shaw and Reverend Mather, each British man in their own way, one a confirmed atheist, the other a devout Puritan, found a strange kind of common ground in their desire to get rid of Christmas. And they're also each very good examples of how one can be brilliant and still miss a larger and more important point. Shaw's determined atheism and Mather's rigid piety each gave them a case of tunnel vision, which caused the two of them to miss out on the human need for festivity and fantasy and the hearing of uplifting stories. Dr. Shaw and Reverend Mather would have done well to have heeded the counsel of yet another wise individual, Broadway composer, Jerry Herman, whose character Auntie Mame sings out, "We need a little Christmas," right this very moment. Perhaps it took a Jewish songwriter and composer like Mr. Herman to grasp the deeper truth that eluded both Shaw and Mather. This season, this evening, is about the power of legend and myth and poetry and fantasy. And it's about how these things nurture and enrich our lives and deepen our spirituality and call us to show forth compassion and love and service to the larger family of human beings that web of life of which we're all a part. As has been noted, the celebrations of this season do predate the Christian era, and the many themes of this year continue to resonate so deeply in the human soul and spirit that we are indeed still celebrating after all these years. We need a little, call it what you will, but we need to celebrate birth. And that's why we gather, to celebrate birth. The birth of light out of a period of darkness, the birth of the sun and the lengthening of the days, the birth of a child who is the bearer of love and peace and redemption to a world greatly in need of all three. For what the Christian tradition brings to this winter holiday and this holy day is a very beautiful story, a very beautiful legend, the one we just heard read to us and sung about. Its historical setting is at least close to the mark. There was indeed a Roman occupation of Palestine. There was a king named Herod who had certain ruling powers in that region, delegated to him by Rome. There were Persian astrologers who did look for signs of a new age and the movement of the stars. And out of this setting came the legend of a child, born to peasant parents under very trying circumstances, and whose birth was heralded by celestial beings and angels and tracked by Eastern magi. And this was no ordinary child, as the legend came to be told. He was really of divine parentage, and he would restore the downtrodden people of his country to the former greatness they'd heard about under kings named David and Solomon. But beyond this, this peasant child was to redeem humanity itself. And when a story like this endures for 2,000 years or more and continues to be celebrated, that tells me that such a legend is striking some human chords that transcend the dictates and transcend the doctrines of any one religion. The late Reverend Sophia Foss, the mother of today's Unitarian Universalist religious education, reminds us in words that have become a part of our Unitarian Universalist scripture for this time of year. Each night a child is born is a holy night. A newborn child is a bearer of hope, a sign that humanity still has a chance. A reminder that we are still called to be bearers of love and peace for those in our human family. Each night a child is born is a holy night. Each child is born with the same divine spark that is in all of us. But it seems that we need a particular holy night, and we need the story of a particular child to remind us of that. For this child came to be called the Christ, and that term too is a universal one. For in the broadest sense of the term, a Christ person is someone who brings transformation and increased wholeness into our lives. One who gives us an enhanced sense of who we are and what our lives can be. Sometimes it's one who's made sacrifices for the sake of our own well-being or for the greater good of humanity itself. We might do well in this evening to think of those who have played such a role in each of our lives. So I'm going to close these words and thoughts with some words by a friend and a colleague of mine in the UU ministry, the Reverend Morris Hutchins. I'm guessing he wrote this for a Christmas Eve service in his own church at one time. Here's what he said. We are joined this evening by the light of candles. From light we have the symbol of warmth, of sharing, of newness of life, of enlightenment and hope in a world of tragedy and darkness. For Christians, the light in the sky represents the birth of a new world religion by Jesus of Nazareth some 2,000 years ago. He moved people's hearts in ages past, and he moves people today. For others, light can symbolize a new life ahead, a new relationship, the birth of a new child. And it can even be a reminder of persons whom we've lost in this past year or other years. For all of us, light is a symbol of hope in a struggling world, for health where there is sickness. It can mean new insight, fresh beginnings, a new commitment to peace. For all these reasons, we come together this evening, alone and together, to share the joy of light.